Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Our Lord's attention last time in chapter 35 was turned towards Mount Seir. And what a terrible, terrible condemnation is upon Seir and Edom, Esau, and his descendants. It's a terrible thing. There is no future for them. There is no future for the seed of evildoers. There is no future for those that stand against the Lord and against the Lord's people. And we see that warning contained here in chapter 35. In chapter 36, our Lord's attention is being turned again to the mountains of Israel. And I find this interesting that our Lord would have his prophets prophesy to the mountains of Israel. I think about us. If we would go out here in the parking lot and begin to declare what we want done and what we ordain to be done, it would be a joke, wouldn't it? What the fields and what the trees and what this land would do. I mean, we would laugh, wouldn't we, at what if we would speak. But you know what? Our Lord can speak to this earth, and this earth obeys our Lord. And may we know that. May we see that. Here, in regarding this, verse number 1 of chapter 36 of Ezekiel, "Also, thou son of man, prophesy unto the mountains of Israel and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord." And so very interesting that our Lord brings this in this at this time. There have been other references to the mountains of Israel. And just for the sake of review quickly, turn to chapter 6 here in Ezekiel. In chapter 6, we read here about what the Lord declared. And in chapter 6, verse number 1 of Ezekiel, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face towards the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains, and to the hills, and the rivers, and to the valleys, Behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places." And so, early on in this book, the Lord speaks to the idolatry of the people in the land, and how the people of the land had taken the high places, and in every grove and every place, as the scripture says, they had made altars and idols to their false gods. And the Lord was going to bring judgment. What was that judgment? That there would be a time where men would be scattered on those hills, scattered on those mountains, scattered at those altars, being dead from the enemy and from the judgment of the Lord. In chapter 33, we see another reference here just very recently in our consideration of this book. And let's look over here in Ezekiel 33, verse number 28. It says in verse number 28 of Ezekiel 33, "For I will lay the land most desolate," the Lord says, "and the pomp of her strength shall cease, and the mountains of Israel shall be desolate, and none shall pass through." So the Lord said what he was going to do to the land. And you know, Palestine is a desolate place. Israel does much irrigation. And when they irrigate, oh, it really brings forth. You know what? There's coming a day there won't be a need for irrigation. The Lord will irrigate it by his ability and power. In chapter 34, and this is all the judgment of the Lord that's been spoken. In chapter 34, verse number 13, the Lord says, "And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all inhabited places of the country." Verse 14, "I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be, and in a fat pasture they shall feed upon the mountains of Israel." So, what is it that we hear? We hear the coming blessing of the Lord, don't we? We hear that coming promise. Yes, our Lord has chastised his nation from the context of this book. And yet, we know in our time, he is still chastising his nation. He is dealing with them, will deal with them further. But you know what? There's hope and a blessing that lays ahead for the Lord's people in Israel. Chapter 35, where we were just last Sunday, in verse number 12, "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, and that I have heard all thy blasphemies, which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying, They are laid desolate. They are given us to consume. The Lord overheard what Edom had said, what those of Mount Seir had said. And he said, it's not going to be. It's not going to be. He said, you have said this, but the Lord is going to work a marvelous, wondrous thing. We come to this chapter in chapter 36, where the brother is told by the Lord to prophesy and say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith, in chapter 36, verse 2, thus saith the Lord God, because the enemy has said against you, aha, even the ancient high places are ours in possession. Therefore prophesy and say, thus saith the Lord God, because they have made you desolate and swallowed you up on every side, that ye might be a possession unto the residue of the heathen, and you are taken up in the lips of talkers and in an infamy of the people. Therefore, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers, and to the valleys, and to the desolate waste, kind of rings of what was said in chapter 6, doesn't it? And to the cities that are forsaken, which became a prey and derision to the residue of the heathen that are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God. He's very thorough, isn't he? He mentions all those places. He mentions all those places. Therefore saith the Lord God, surely in the fire of my jealousy have I spoken against the residue of the heathen, and against Idumea. And we just saw about that in the previous chapter, didn't we? And it's interesting that when the heathen are represented here, it is Esau's crowd. It's Esau's ancestry or children that came from him and his posterity that is mentioned here with the unbelieving. Against all Idumea, which have appointed my land into their possession with the joy of all their heart and with spiteful minds to cast it out for a prey. He says, they thought they were going to get it. They thought because my judgment had come to pass, they spoke in a hasty and in an unthoughtful, non-thinking, non-consideration, ignorant way that they were going to take over my land, but they will not. Because as we've seen over and over and over again, save for Egypt, there is no future for any of the nations of the earth and those that have been against Israel. Prophesy, verse number 6, therefore, concerning the land of Israel, verse 6, say unto the mountains and to the hills, the rivers, the valleys, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my fury because you have borne the shame of the heathen. It's time for this to be done. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I have lifted up my hand. Surely the heathen that are about you, they shall bear their shame. The Lord is going to judge those that he's used to be a judgment to his own people. One would say, well, how's that fair? How is that right? Listen, you're dealing with God here. You're not dealing with man. You're dealing with the perfect, righteous and holy one. He does what he wants to amongst the inhabitants of men. In regards to these that are against Israel, and we're going to come on to the time in a few chapters that we're going to see about a kingdom that the Lord prophesies, has our brother prophesy against, that's from far away. And it's brought this thought and this understanding about enemies of Israel near and enemies of Israel far away. But Israel has many enemies, okay? And so Idumea, that of Esau, that of Mount Seir, that was an enemy near. And let's see here over in Psalm 83 what the Lord says about enemies that are near. There's none that is out of the reach of the Lord. There is none that is able to stand against our Lord. Whether they be near or whether they be far, the Lord knows about them. And he indeed will deal with them. In Psalm 83, we have this psalm written by Brother Asaph. And he was there in the music of the temple and that. And let's read here about these enemies of Israel that are near and what their end will be. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation. Same kind of things that we've heard from others mentioned in Ezekiel, isn't it? Same thought, same idea, same threat that they have for the Lord's nation. That the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. Verse 5, for they have consulted together with one consent. They all agree. They are confederate against thee. See, that's the thing. You stand up against the Lord's nation. We have this before our country ongoing. If we take a stand against Israel, it'll be another nail in our coffin, or box of nails in our coffin, if you will, as a nation. We need to be the friend and the supporter of Israel. Because if we go against Israel, we become an enemy of Israel, it will be to our demise as a nation indeed. They have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. Listen to the listing. This is what struck me. The tabernacles of Edom listed first. Isn't that something? Isn't that something that it's listed that way? Isn't it something that Edom is listed first? And the Ishmaelites, that son that Abraham and Sarah had of their own accord, with Hagar, brother Abraham did. And of Moab, one of the grandsons of Lot. And the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon, another grandson of Lot. And Amalek, which is a descendant of Esau, if we understand it correctly. And the Philistines. Remember all the trouble over in Gaza? Yeah, Gaza. That's the land of the Philistines. Have you heard about Gaza in the news in the last 15 years? About all the time, right? Stronghold of Hezbollah, right? If I remember right. The Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre. Remember what we saw about Tyre? Remember how the Lord said that he was going to give Tyre into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar? And then he did it again in giving it into the hands of Alexander the Great. And the inhabitants of Tyre, they're all against Israel and the Lord's land. Asher also is joined with them. They have hope in the children of Lot. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, and to Sisera as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon. What's that mean? Well, you got to know about that account to know what that means. What was it that happened to Sisera by that woman Jabin? He was on the run, and the general, it was in the days when the woman was a prophetess there in Israel. And now I'm losing all those names. And he didn't want to go unless she went, okay? And he's listed there in the honor roll of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And I wish I could remember his name. Say it again. Barak. Okay. It's just not ringing a bell, Brother Stephen. But yeah, and any of your brethren remember the name of the, I'll just put you on the spot too. The prophetess, you remember her name? Deborah. Yes, Deborah. And he said, I won't go unless you go. And then the word of the Lord came saying, well, because you wouldn't go at the command of the Lord, the victory is going to be given into the hands of a woman. And so this Sisera was on the run and came to Jabin's tent. And he was wore out. And she gave him some milk, and she gave him some bread, she gave him some meat, she gave him something to eat. And of course, once he ate, he went straight away to sleep, and she took a tent stake and drove it through his head. Because he was the enemy. And so that's what Asaph, do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, Jabin, at the brook Kishon. That's the reason we need to know the Bible. That's the reason need to remember the names better than I do. Which perished at Endor, they became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb. Now, the children of Israel destroyed them when they came into the land. Yea, all their princes east of the Jordan, if I remember right. Yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna. Those were others that were dealt with, I believe, by the children of Israel coming into the land. Who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. That's their desire. Same thing we've heard over here in Ezekiel from the enemies of the Lord. Said, they're for our spoil. We want to take them. Oh my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind, as the fire burneth a wood, and as a flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish, that men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the Most High over all the earth. Now, Brother Asaph doesn't say, Lord, you get them, so I'll be avenged, so we'll be avenged. He says, Lord, you get them, so that your name might be praised and you might be magnified. See, Brother Asaph had confidence in what the Lord had promised, what the Lord had given and done with Israel. He had rest and peace in that, even though there was this 16 nations that are listed here, 16 nations that gather against Israel. Lord, you do what's right. Indeed, vengeance is the Lord, and he will repay. And so that's a testimony to us and fits right along with what Brother Peter has been speaking to us in his first epistle about the suffering of the Lord. You know, we need to yield our hearts and commit our souls to him that will deliver us and will help us indeed. I want to read again this over here in Malachi. We read it last time, but just since Edom is listed here early on in this listing that we read over in the Psalms and then this consideration here in the previous chapter, I want to read this again and just listen to these words. I tell you what, there's no future in being against the Lord. There's no future in denying and being against the Lord. None. Zero. No matter what men would undertake to do themselves, there is no future in being against the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Hear Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother? And he was the firstborn. Saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down, and they shall call them the border of wickedness. Listen, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. Don't go against the Lord. Don't go against his way ever. There's no future in it. Our way will destroy us, and the way of this world and of man will destroy us. It's only the way of the Lord that has a future. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. Tell you what, I want to be a friend to Israel, don't you? We need to be a friend to our Lord's nation. We've got brethren that we love that believe that the church has replaced Israel. I don't see how it can be. I just do not see how it can be. I mean, when the Lord uses words like forever in regards to his nation and then tells of things that have not been accomplished yet for the sake of his nation, I just don't see how that can be. The Lord has not forgot his nation. And it will be to no detriment of the church, and the bring of the that of the Lord's church is not by no means any detriment to that of the bringing back of Israel. Our Lord is able. He is able to do exceeding above and beyond what we can think, isn't he? Back in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse number 8. But ye, O mountains of Israel, listen, this is the command of the Lord. Listen to this. Oh, if a farmer could have a tenth of this ability, right? Listen. But ye, O mountains of Israel, shall shoot forth your branches and yield your fruit to my people, my people of Israel, for they are at hand to come. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. He hadn't forgot her. As bad as it ever will look and has looked, he's never forgot her. He will not forget her, will he? He will not. For I am for you, and I will turn unto you. You know, that's a promise that the Lord's children have. The brother, as he wrote in the book of Romans, is it not? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. The brother preached that, didn't he, in our meeting. If God be for us, who can be against us? I will turn unto you, and ye shall be tilled and sown. And I will multiply men upon you, all the houses of Israel, even all of it. And the city shall be inhabited, not desolate anymore. And the waste shall be builded. They won't be empty anymore. They will flourish. And I will multiply upon you man and beast. And they shall increase and bring fruit. And I will settle you after your old estates. And I will do better unto you than at your beginnings. Now, I think it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. Don't you remember that? And the Lord's going to do better than that. Wouldn't it be something? I've wondered about this. Great destruction and war and conflict right there before the appearing of the Lord in Israel and setting his feet on the Mount of Olives and fighting Armageddon and any other thing there that would be fought. I mean, it's going to be a destruction in that part of the world. They're going to be burying soldiers, we're going to see, for 7 months. But wouldn't it be something if the Lord, at the beginning of his reign, next growing season, everything would just burst forth and it would be Palestine, Israel, that would feed the world until the world got back on its feet? Now, that would make the heathen grit their teeth, wouldn't it? But you know, our Lord could do it. Our Lord can do it. It's going to be a flourishing and a blessing. I don't know how the Lord will do it, but I wonder about those things. I mean, that place is going to be ate up. I mean, armies of the world have gathered together. With this refugee crisis that's at hand over in Europe, Eastern Europe and such as that, the Syria issue. When you've got tens of thousands of people just in one piece of real estate, it gets decimated. And there's going to be millions there gathering against the Lord's nation and people. The Lord says, I will do better unto you than at your beginning. You know, for the child of God, it just gets better and better, doesn't it? It gets better. I mean, the Lord saves our souls. We praise his name for it. He makes us a child, joint heirs with Christ, a home in heaven, kings and priests. It just keeps getting better and better and better with the Lord, doesn't it? Why would any want to go against the Lord? And ye shall know that I am the Lord because of this blessing. Verse 12, yea, I will cause men to walk upon you, even my people Israel. You remember that 40-year desolation and no foot would be set in Egypt? Not with Israel. It's done, the Lord says. It's done being that way. And they shall possess thee, and thou shalt be their inheritance, and thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. The Lord says, I'm not going to have you, O mountains of Israel. I'm not going to have you work against my people anymore. I'm not going to have you desolate. I'm not going to have you being scarce on food and scarce on the things of that men need and necessity of life. And thou shalt no more henceforth bereave them of men. Thus saith the Lord God, verse 13, because they say unto you, thou land devourest up men, and hast bereaved thy nations, therefore shalt thou devour men no more, neither bereave thy nations any more, saith the Lord God. Once the Lord, from the standpoint of time, once the Lord goes down there and destroys those, that meet together at Armageddon there that are against his nation, he says, we're done with killing. The killing is done on this earth. No more. No more bereaving. No more grief of the destruction of men. The nations, bereave thy nations anymore, saith the Lord God. Verse 15, neither will I cause men to hear in thee the shame of the heathen anymore. The wicked way is done. Neither shalt thou bear the reproach of the people anymore. Neither shalt thou cause thy nations to fall anymore, saith the Lord God. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, verse 16, saying, son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their doings. Their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed woman. So the Lord now turns his attention to remember what Israel had done to do all this, to cause his chastisement and his judgment to come upon them. Wherefore, I poured out my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name when they said unto them, these are the people of the Lord that are going forth out of his land. See, that should never have been. The Lord's people should have never been dispersed from their land. It was really a slight against God. Well, why are you here? Well, the judgment of the Lord is upon us, or we've just gone away from the Lord. It was a slight unto the Lord. They profaned my holy name when they said unto them, to the Jews, these are the people of the Lord that are going forth out of his land. It was blasphemy unto the Lord. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned amongst the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake. Now, we could camp out there for a while. We are great benefactors of the Lord. We're talking about a week of Thanksgiving, aren't we? And Thanksgiving on Thursday that we celebrate. And the message this morning, you know, it's by the grace of the Lord that we've been brought, and we've been called, we've been saved, we've been made the Lord's. And you know what? We have been rescued. But it's to redound unto his holy name's sake. It's for him. It's to glorify him. You and I have been saved unto the glory of God. We begin, and we are very grateful because here I am and there you are inside. You know, you are you, your soul in your body right there. And you are thankful if you're here and saved. You are thankful that you have been saved. We rejoice in that. But the Lord hadn't saved us for our sakes, but for his name's sake, that he might be glorified. We are a testimony of the Lord's grace and mercy and love to praise him for eternity. And what a blessing it is. And the Lord works with us indeed. But this is, the Lord's just getting down to it. He says, but I had pity for my holy name. His name had been compromised in that had happened to Israel and the wickedness of Israel, his judgment upon them, his scattering with all the promises that he had made. You think about that. Will the Lord suffer any promise to be broken? He won't do it, will he? And oh, what cunning and what wisdom the Lord has to yet deal with the disobedient, but yet bring it about to where the promise will be fulfilled. Again, this is God. This is God. This is not a man. He says, but I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned amongst the heathen, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith your Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name. I tell you what, I praise the Lord. I'm glad to be right in there in that sanctification of his name, aren't you? We are to be a thankful people. We are to be thankful. I'm thankful that he included me, aren't you? I'm thankful that he included me. We sing a song like that, don't we? But I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord. Well, about how the Lord does with his own. Saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. See, it tells in Isaiah chapter 66 that the heathen in that day will find out that somebody's a Jew, and they'll say, oh, let me load you up on my mule, my horse, my cart, and let me gingerly take you back over here to your land. Can you imagine the Russians doing that? Can you imagine the Arabs doing that? But that's what they'll do. Those that remain in that day and say, oh, you're an Israeli? Well, let me get you in what's left of my car and get you, or my boat or my whatever, and get you over there. Are you comfortable? You got plenty to drink? I mean, they'll take care of it. The Lord says in there, and I marvel at that passage, like the Jews would take an offering to the temple very carefully. They'll take the Lord's people back to where they belong. See, the Lord will be sanctified when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. See, the Lord will be believed by all in that day. Verse 24, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Water, the water of the washing of the word. You know, the goodness of the Lord, what has come forth from his mouth. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. We know that's what the Lord does when he saves sinners, isn't it? And praise be to his name. That's what we pray for those that are not saved that we know of. And in our midst, that the Lord will take out that stony heart and give them a heart of flesh. Do you remember back when we read that the Lord said that how it was with Israel when she was young, and then she, in the wording of the Lord, she fornicated herself with like the likes of Egypt. And then when that relationship wore out, then she went to the Syrians. And when that relationship wore out, she went to somebody else, and the Babylonians, and this, and that, and the other. And then when she got on down the road, in the picture, when she was older, an older woman, that she began to remember back and revel in her mind about the young days when she first went away from the Lord with the Egyptians. And the Lord said, I'm going to remove all that from you. I'm going to remove even the thinking of your old wickedness. I'm going to remove it all from you. I tell you what, there's nothing better than being cleansed by the Lord. There's nothing better. To be solely dedicated to the Lord in body, soul, and spirit, and to have that old filth from the past removed. I mean, that's one of the blessings is going to be about having a new body. We won't be hindered by sin ever. There won't be the most inopportune bad thought cross our mind. And that's what the Lord says. I'm going to take that old stony heart out, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And you'll be dedicated to me in every way. And I will put my spirit within you. Verse 27, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. If I may interject with a smile on your face, being thankful that you've been touched by me, being thankful that you've been brought by me, being thankful that you're there with me. You Ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. The promise is going to be kept, isn't it? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Why would anyone want to go any other way? Why? Satan and depravity and sin and wickedness has sold a bill of goods to mankind, hadn't it? It sold a bill of goods. That's what Satan did at the beginning with Eve. God's holding out on you, and it's better over there on the other side of disobedience against God, because God knows where the real blessing and the real thing's at. No, the real blessing and the right thing and the good thing is with the Lord. Because anywhere else but the Lord is nothing but distance from the Lord. I will be your God. Verse 29, and I will also save you from all your uncleanness, praise God. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that ye shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Then shall ye remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good, and shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Repentance. 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 That there's no two greater things that man needs than repentance and submission to the Lord. Repentance before God and submission before the Lord. And it's one of those things that they're right in there together. Which one can you put first? I mean, you could say submission, and then in submission, repentance, or repentance, so you see that you need to submit. I mean, they're needed. They're needed. We need to loathe our sin, because it's against our righteous and holy God that has done so much for us. Cost such a great price to save us from our sins. Verse 32, not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you, be ashamed and confounded of your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I shall have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will also cause you to dwell in the cities, and the waste shall be builded. And the desolate land shall be tilled, whereas it lay desolate in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, this land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden. The Lord will be praised. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's by His grace and His mercy and His love that He saves us. Sinner, if you're here without Christ, you have nothing to offer to the Lord. You need to fall before Him in repentance before Him and in desperate need of the Lord. You need Him. He does not need us. You need Him. Like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and the desolate and the ruined city shall become fenced and are inhabited. Then the heathen, verse 36, that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. You think He will? He sure will. Amen. Amen and amen. He will. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. I will increase them with men like a flock. Not dead men laying all over the mounts and the valleys and the hills and in the city, laying dead upon and in front of the groves and upon the idols and the altars to false God. But the blessing of life and prosperity and rejoicing and worship of the Lord. Not that of death and going after what man's way and the way of Satan and the way of the world, but that of life and worshiping of God Almighty and the blessing of His life and light. I will increase them with men like a flock. The one that had killed, the one that had judged, the one that had chastised, is the one that brings life. As for the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem is her solemn feast, flock of Jerusalem in her solemn feast, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. You know, the blessing of the Lord in the millennial of Israel will spill out to be a blessing to the world, even to the heathen that'll be in that day. We'll have no necessity as the children of God changed with a body like Christ. We'll have no necessity of the things of earth and life and living like we do now. You know, we need food, we need shelter, we need clothing and those things. They'll have need of that, those that remain, and they will flourish. But the Lord will answer all these things that He's promised to His nation during that time. And as His children will be there ruling and reigning with Him, and the heathen for 1,000 years will be benefactors. A child born will yet be considered a child at 100 years old. How can that be? Well, the blessing of the Lord is that good, even spilling over to the heathen in that day. Now, our brother's been given this prophecy and what the Lord said He was going to do for a nation, no doubt, that Brother Ezekiel knows is very wicked and very sinful and has been brought to this estate, being captive in Babylonia, the city, Jerusalem, being destroyed, and the nation no more. And the next chapter we'll look at, Lord willing, next time in chapter 37. It's kind of like the Lord saying, Ezekiel, do you believe I can do it? Can the Lord give life to a valley of dry bones? Is it such with Ezekiel or those that would hear him that they would say, that blessing and the Lord bringing us to that end is just too good to be true? Well, the Lord's going to give a prophecy that's going to tell that He can do it. He's got life. He's got life. Do you need life? The Lord's got life. May the Lord help and bless His word.